Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, certainly getting through these hot days. Luke is at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, making it happen here as we hope the Orioles get back into things and the Ravens are off the field. In the meantime, we are on the field with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We're going to be out this week at Reader's Crab House in Reisterstown. I will have the scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery. We have the Back to the Future scratch-offs to give away. Just great, great guests coming up. Great Crab Cake Tour stops. We're going to be at DePasquale's on the 8th of July in the morning before it's 102 degrees. Dan Roderick's going to join us. Joe Giordano is going to join us. There's a rumor that Pete Grinch is going to come back to the old neighborhood in Island Town. That's on the 8th. And then on the 10th, we're going to be at Costas in Timonium, the new location, which we invite you to the racetrack at Timonium. Just don't come for crabs. If you want crabs, you got to go to Dundalk to get them. They don't have crabs at the Timonium location, but they will have me. And Congressman Johnny O is going to join me on the 10th, as well as Leonard Raskin and a whole bunch of friends. That is all coming up before the All-Star break. It's about time I get this guy on because I see him around town. Ran into him on opening day. I've been wanting to have him on. I think the last time we really shared some space was at the beautiful Collective Encore as guest of Gus Kolaris and Axios Wine. I'm still trying to find the truth, Gus. We had a good time with Badfinger that night. Since then, we've lost Joey Mulland. I want to welcome Craig Northrop onto the program.
Thank you.
I think this is the first time. Is this your debut? 35
years
old.
This is my debut and the most memorable you're ever going to have.
For me, our ratings are up. You know, the players would always say that to me. Hey, if I come on your show, your ratings will go up. Your numbers will go up and all that stuff. Your numbers have gone up. I mean, everybody sees your commercials. They know you're affiliated with the Terps in Maryland. They see your signs. If you're in any neighborhood here, you see a North Realty sign. I don't know your whole background, and I've been out with you. We've been at dinners, places, and all over town. I run into you and your wife all the time, and I keep threatening to have you on. But I don't even know how, like, you even got into real estate. I did read up and learn that your mother was a real estate agent. Is that correct?
Yes. For 50 years, my mother's been doing the business. Crazy. It's, you know, it's a heritage. We've been here and started in Howard County, did in Howard County, never left Howard County. Howard County is the central point between Baltimore and Washington.
It's on nights when Merriweather's happening for me.
That's it. Yeah. Keith Urban was just here a couple of days ago. So, you know, again, they've done a really good job with it, Merriweather. They've gotten much more commercialized and centralized with the community. So I do give them a credit. And, you know, they're certainly trying to build that downtown Columbia even up better.
Well, and every time I come, I see it and I feel it. And look, I'm a kid from Dundalk, right? So a guy like you, we're almost same age, same era. I'm a little older than you. But I would say for that part of life in the 80s, when Rouse came along and created Columbia, I wanted to be in Columbia, date girls in Columbia. I thought Columbia was this utopian place, right, in the mid-80s, because I'm from a row house in Dundalk. I had never been to a place where there were no signs, where there were no big buildings, where there were, like, trees and pathways and stuff and things, deer and stuff like that. It was a different life to me. Now I go to Columbia, and I see, what would Mr. Rouse make of it 60 years later as to what it's grown up to be? But more than that, Merriweather stayed, the woods, everything's grown around it, the mall's going to not be probably be a mall because malls aren't malls anymore. But Howard County is just as strong a county as we have in the state, right?
It's the third wealthiest county in the United States, basically. I mean, it's pretty incredible how much we've held on and kept. Our traffic is fair, you know, when the times are. You got your schools are good, you know, and a lot of great places have come into Howard County. So we're very blessed. And again, it's because of the convenience. I mean, you're 30 minutes from Baltimore, 30 minutes from D.C. It kind of is the perfect place to live.
Well, I had a conversation with Leonard Raskin last week, who's our money guy here at Raskin Global, about the S&P. And if you just followed the S&P since the beginning of time, since you were 18 years old, put money in your you did all of that, you'd be able to go live in wherever anybody wants to live. I could go live in Wailea if I wanted to. I would say if you invested in Howard County and you invested in real estate in Howard County over a lifetime, and you've got a lifetime now and your mother's got a lifetime as well, it's been real estate's been a good investment, not just a good way for you to make a living, but, you know, getting a piece of land and sitting on it and watching it appreciate, that really is kind of the American dream that you're selling, right?
You know, that's a very good point. Land in general, and Howard County is almost built out, averaging 5% interest a year. Well, you're not going to get that in the banks. You know, the housing in Howard County is averaging 8%. I mean, the increases of value that I've seen for some of these sellers, by the way, if you ever want to know your value, just give me a call, because one of the things I've done when I first got into real estate is I learned every street of every house of every location. So knowledge is confidence, confidence is trust, trust is sale. So with that, I have people that are making, $100, $200, $300, $400,000 in equity in a couple of years. It's not even like 25 years. You had to wait 25 years to make that kind of money. Right now, if you bought a product before COVID, let's just use it because COVID was a really good example of it. You are making some really good investment money in all, I would say all counties, because what happened was COVID realized when we kind of got quarantined that where do you quarantine? In a home. Right? You need a home. And what you found is you didn't live in the homes for more than a couple, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. You're not really staying there. It's not a staycation. You're kind of, and once you got quarantined, you realize, hey, I need a bigger house. I either need a good outdoor space, which outdoor space went crazy. Pools are now just insane in value. Like there's been that kind of a transition. And the question's going to be, and when people should think about it, is where would I quarantine next? Right? Where would I quarantine next? If my home where I need it, or could I, would I, should I move somewhere else? Your best investment in real estate always is going to be your home.
Northrup's here. He's with Northrup Realty. You've probably seen his ads, seen him around town at a Maryland game or whatnot. It is his first visit here. Man, I get into this with you and I go a bunch of different directions, but let's start with this. How is the market and rates? And you mentioned COVID and it's, and I haven't had a lot of realtors on, to be honest with you. This is the first time I've had like a real estate conversation.
I'm
I have a
glad you
couple
went right to the
friends.
top, right
Well,
out of the
hey man, I've been waiting 3 months to get you on since opening day. That was in March for crying out loud.
That's right.
And it's too hot today. But the interest rates and that sort of miraculous period where you could get 1.5% or 2% or where the money was kind of free and then the money went wacky. And I always go back to my first house. I lived at 428 Kane Street, 2 blocks from Patterson High School. There was no grocery store across the street, no McDonald's. It was anchor post fence. I bought the house for $42,000 in 1986. I was 18 years old and I paid 8.75% and felt good about it because people were paying 10 and 11 at that time, right? And I had good credit for an 18 year old. My parents gave me 5 grand and away we go, right? So I think about that loan and my mortgage, I think was $451 a month at that time. Barely could afford it. I was working at the newspaper at the Sun in the 80s. And now, my wife and I made a move 3.5 years ago. We lived in this condo. We lived in unit 239 of Harbor Court for 19 years. Lost our ass, Craig. I mean, if I had bought in Howard County, I mean, literally, I got annihilated in the market. So for me to think about getting in at 7.5% versus 2.5%. As an old guy, I know the difference. And there's a time to buy, there's a time to sell. Nobody rings the bell, top or bottom. We know that, like the market. But right now, it good sort of middling from a value standpoint. And how's inventory right now? Because
All
I
right, so
haven't
the
been in the market.
fantastic question. First of all, my mother, when she first started selling, 16% interest rates. So I do want to be clear, that was really high when it
Sweet
first.
daddy.
I know, right? So now, we were down the twos or threes, and a lot of people bought, obviously, and have are sitting on mortgages that are low. So it is. So what has changed our market? It's a fantastic market because if you want to sell your property, there hasn't been a lot of inventory. There will start being more inventory, but a lot of sellers don't want to sell at 3% or 2.5% or 3% and move into a 6% mortgage rate. So they're kind of waiting for that to come down. The feds, everything has fallen in line to come down in feds. Feds just haven't done it. They're just being stubborn. I mean, that's just all it really comes down to on that because everything is aligned to come to do that. Lawrence Yun, NAR's economist, he's coming to our retreat next month. He has predicted that it will. Well, when it does, it will get down, he believes, down to about this, to really in that little bit below 6%. When that does that, it will
5.95 will change
5 point
things.
something, anything with a five.
Okay.
You put a five in front of any interest rate, you now wedged all the sellers that for 2-ish% will move, right? So there's a lot of pent-up demand of sellers that can make some good money on their house, but they don't want to move from a 3% to a 6 to 6 to 6.5%. So they're waiting for that to happen. And when that does, it's going to go amazing. And so, as a seller, I don't know that you really want to wait for that. You're better off to sell now and capitalize on it because I'll tell you why. You could wait for that to come down, But if I can make you 100 grand more right now because of low inventory, why wouldn't you just sell it now, make that money instead of waiting for a percent to come down on the interest rate? That logic doesn't pay dollars, right? It doesn't. It's just a mindset that says, hey, I want to keep my mortgage down. I get it. But if you can put more money down, your mortgage goes down as well. So that's our market right now. It's getting to be a little bit balanced. We're starting to see a little more inventory come up. Buyers are still buying. They've gotten over the interest rate pretty much. They're buying. Any good product selling, you know,
Well,
how
everybody's carrying a mortgage. It's just how much it's going to cost me a month to be where I want to
that's
be
it.
for my kids, my job, my school, my wife, my life, my family, right? Because when people come, selling a house is a big thing, man, right? I mean, just there's a lot going in, especially now that guys like you are coming around and flying drones around and video. I mean, the touring alone from what used to be how I bought my condo in 2003, which were snapshot pictures, to how not just you, everybody, the industry standard. I'm blown away. I ran into Mike Rowe in recent times, and I don't think of him as the odd jobs guy or the dirty. I think of him as the about your home on Sunday afternoon. And you know, and they would do those. Come on, man, you're laughing because you know we vacuumed every Saturday and Sunday watching Mike Rowe and those houses and how they were shown then and how they're shown now. If you want to show your house off, it has to be immaculate, ready to go. You have to have a professional like you really come in and show it
And let me
off,
tell you two
right?
points on that. First of all, when you sell a car, what do? You clean it the best ever, right? So it's the same philosophy if you think about it, because you really know you're going to get the most money. So, you know, decluttering is the biggest issue with most houses. Highlight the features, limit distractions. Houses are staged, sell 50% faster. Houses aren't staged over 17% more money.
Hold
17%
on,
more money.
you talk too fast for me. So a house that's staged means either somebody's living in it or you got fake furniture in it. Empty, as we used to see in Dundalk when I was a kid, you go into row houses, they're mainly empty, right? You're just seeing empty
Empty is
walls.
good. People don't realize empty is good because they can see what they're going to get. But ultimately, any house, we can stage your own furniture. We can bring furniture in. There's all kinds of different options. But the point is houses are staged sell 50% faster than houses that aren't staged and for 17% more money.
So
So,
I bring you my house. You're going to say, Ness, I know it's empty. Let me put something in it.
yes.
You're going to make me do that because it's going to help both of us make a sale, right?
And we have virtual stage. You don't even have to pay anything. It's really kind of cool. It's actually virtually done. I sold Kevin Spacey's house way back when, and when you know, he said I used to brag about that. I donated more. But the point is that we virtual stage that, so you can make a house look online and in the brochures, which are Fusion Photography, Matterport, floor plans. We do it all, and you know, to the graphic that's behind you, and basically this podcast. It's that same vision. It's like you can feel like what it's gonna be. You can see, you see, you eat with your eyes first. So you can feel that emotion, that living there by what we do in our photography, in our brochures, in our writing. It's a kind of amazing. I mean, my mother only had newspapers, Baltimore Sun. You talk about that. That's what she had, right? She had
Sunday
Baltimore
Sun,
Sun to sell.
yeah.
That's it. We have all kinds of avenues now to sell. We're very blessed by that, which is why we do national, we do local, national, and international to market all people from China to Dubai. We're getting all kinds of demand from all over the world.
Greg Northrup is here. He is a realtor. You're probably familiar with him and the Northrup team, seeing him around town. I've never really had Craig on the show to talk about real estate or his background or all the Terps thing with you. How did Run me through that because that's sort of your association. I think anybody that's a Terps fan seeing the ads or seeing you around the team in certain ways. And I haven't been down in a while. You know, the Turgeon era begat the next era, begat the Buzz Williams era. It certainly has been tumultuous in so many ways for Gary to exit and all that era of coaches to leave and just say the pay for player thing. Real estate's real estate. Maybe some things have changed the way we do it. College basketball has fundamentally changed. And I don't want to say I'm less interested in it, but Craig, I'm less interested in it.
I understand. Listen, I've always been a college football and a pro, football. Sorry, pro football and college basketball. But the reason I say that is with college. So first of all, let me back up. I went to Mount St. Joe, and then I went to Maryland, University of Maryland. Right. So I was a Terp. I went with Lenny Bias and Lefty Gazelle. That was my era. Right. That was the era of the greatest coaches and one of the greatest players outside of Michael Jordan that's ever played the game, right? Lenny Bias was absolutely amazing. So I fell in love with basketball at a young age, right? So, and of course, I played it. I'm tall. I'm 6'7", but it was more about I wasn't good enough to be on that court with them kind of people, in the sense of ability. So anyway, so long short of it is I got to really got to see it firsthand. I got involved in it. I was very much involved in the athletic programs, very much in the Greek systems, very much into. I really decided to align with Maryland Terps. I'm Maryland. I'm a Maryland. I'm born and bred here. I figured let's do our logo, which is a North of Brody logo with this tied in Maryland. And so
Since
what we
then, the
did is
flag's caught on.
it's
Last 40 years, right? The Maryland flag's everywhere.
everywhere, isn't it? It's kind of cool. It's actually very sexy, by the way.
Oh,
So,
I have it on my luggage, and then people comment
right.
all the time. I mean, we're
I got it
proud of
right
being from
here.
Maryland. We really, well,
There
you
it
got it
is.
all over you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, ironically with that, so as I got into business, what I found out is that you got to get into TV. You got to get yourself out there. You got to be memorable. So I did a commercial. My first commercial was on a cul-de-sac. I said, I'm a Maryland resident and a University of Maryland Terp. Buy or sell a house with me. That's all I said. Literally, it was like 25 years ago. All I said was that. Like, it's not like sophisticated. Just do something different. I was first one to get on the TV. Then I started getting tied into Terps and branding myself and really kind of getting involved. I did all the Terp clubs. I'm an alumni. Everything I could do Terps. And I aligned with all the coaches. I sold a lot of the coaches' houses, things like that. So there was a story. It was a fun story. I was walking in a home. Somebody called me to sell their home. I walk in the door and there's this little boy, and his name is Mike, and Mikey, I call him. And Mikey goes, you gotta come see my room right now. I said, well, and the parents were standing there too. And I said, well, I should probably see the house first. He goes, no. The parents said, Mikey's been waiting all day for you to come in the home. I said, great. I said, he said, go see his room and then we'll see the rest of the house. I go upstairs to see his room. It's an aquarium, beautiful aquarium, all painted walls, very similar like here in the sense of it's got fishes and frogs and all that stuff. I
And
said,
all
well,
you're thinking is stage his house differently.
I mean, ultimately, but really at this point, I was kind of wondering where he was going with it. And he goes, boy, I said, that's really beautiful. And he goes, no. He said, do you see that Terp turtle in the corner? When I see that, I think of you. And that's when I knew branding with the Terps was one of the best things I've ever done. I did the Lenny Bias 25-year dedication to him with the, I gave everyone the jersey. They were standing outside buying them as collector things that same day. One of the best promotions ever done with Maryland. I'm working with Buzz Williams to buy a house, ideally. That's the goal and the staff. They're great people, like very much involved with all of them, Loxley and the football side. So it's just a blessing. Again, I do some stuff with Mount St. Joe. I should do more in my high schools, but I did everything with Maryland Terps. And it really kind of worked in that way for a Terp family. I mean, it's a Terp family. Like when people are Terps, we kind of hang together, right? It's kind of amazing. Kind of connection that I have with many people in the Terp family.
Well, I think you get a new basketball coach and some new blood, and certainly bad blood as the other coach left, but certainly fresh things. And listen, I'm trying to navigate this like navigating AI, right? Like, no one knows, there are no guardrails. I remember seeing Gary Williams speak up here in Timonium at an event about 2.5 years ago, and he said, well, at some point they're going to put some guardrails in. And I'm like, I don't know who's coming to save this in the way that the NCAA and in the way that all of And I'm sure you're active in it as well. And
Right.
Kevin Plank and Steve Bisciotti and all the Maryland boosters in saying, how can we buy the best point guard? How can we buy the best center? How can we get the best players? And that was something for Alabama football. That was something that certainly came in FedEx bags in the overnight at Kentucky a generation ago. That it was, we're going from, it's like cannabis. We're going from something that was illegal to something that we talk about, and we're trying to make the divide happen with fans, with sponsors, with the people who may have money to support bringing players in. And then the whole ethics of, should we be paying players? Should the coach be the highest paid play state employee? And all of that stuff. But this is the engine that college sports has generated through people like you that supported, and people like me that have talked about it for 35 years, and people like Gary Williams and Len Bias that built it, Lefty Gisell. But I don't know where it's going, Craig. And as a fan, as a sports guy, as someone that would buy tickets or have time for it, Just the first thing was leaving the ACC for Maryland was a little traumatic for the
They
fan
had
base in a
to
general sense,
financially,
right?
and people have asked me that a lot. They had to financially because the only programs, sadly, the programs that fund the college are the basketballs and the footballs, right? Traditionally. But they have track programs and great lacrosse programs and all these others. In order to fund all that, you had to go to the S you had to go to the other one. I mean, don't get me wrong, we all love the Carolina Duke matches. They were amazing basketball. But we traded that for very tough football. SEC is very tough football. And we're getting really good in the basketball arena, and I think we could dominate this year. I predict that they will definitely be in the Sweet 16 this year. I just think Buzz has got the buzz. I mean, analogy-wise, he's a team guy. He loves the game and he loves the players. And if you love the game and love the players will play for you. And I think that, and that's hard to find in the college coaching world right now.
Well, and it's a different job. I mean, I've talked to Pat Scarry up here at Towson, Larry Stewart over at Coppin. We're partners with Coppin here, just about the differences between a Division One double A, low Division One, mid-major, and major, and where the finances are going to be, and how it's all going to shake out in the end. That when a player's any good at Towson, they're going to be looking to transfer to Vanderbilt or move up. That there really is going to be a tiered system. And to your point, for somebody that goes back with me to, I always tell my Toyota people, I used to get the Toyota book in 78, 79. We had Buck Williams and you had Greg Manning and you had all the teams in there and the whole Mid-Atlantic area was involved in it. And the players, whether it was Michael Jordan, James Worthy, Perkins, those guys would stay 3, 4 years. That era is over and it's more like pro sports with like the Orioles. Are they good this year? Will Zach Eflin be here next year? I don't know. College is going to be more like that. And I think younger people will catch on to that. We're going to have to catch up to that because Buzz Williams isn't going to build dynasties. He's going to have to build 1 year teams, and that's throughout football, basketball, through every sport.
I think that's what's happening anymore. I mean, I think that's it. You got the 1 year to make it happen. And what are you going to do to get the best out of your players? Like Queen was amazing. We knew we only had 1 year for him, but he's going to go fifth round in the draft in NBA in 1 year. He was a freshman, but we got a good year out of him. Sadly, the coach did not help us when he doesn't even show up for the dinner, for the night before the big game. But that was sad that we went through that transition, but Buzz will
One of the
fix it.
weirdest things in Maryland history, going back to the day Bias died, I thought to have a coach that just sort of walked out. I mean, I don't think we've experienced that. If you're an SEC football fan, you remember when Tuberville was getting on planes every week and a half, running around before he's running the government and getting jobs. But there is a point for me as a citizen, as a taxpayer. Look, I get salty when stadiums, $600 million are given to billionaires, and I do have my, I get my Dundalk bird up about talking down to the lower class and giving away to the upper class. But there is a point where if the highest paid employee in a state is a coach, is a sports coach, it's a different kind of business than an education system. And that's through 50 states, because that's true in like 35 states. The highest paid employee is a football or a basketball coach.
That is true. That is true.
Greg Northam's here. He's doing real estate. Inventory's out. We're trying to get the rates down. We're trying to get the terps up. Anything you got on the Orioles? I ran into you opening day. I know,
Yeah,
you
Orioles,
know.
boy, opening day, I love it. I love the energy. I love the things. They're certainly trying as Orioles in the sense of keeping the stadium's gorgeous. We're very blessed by the stadium of Orioles and Ravens. I got to be honest. I think transition is what Orioles keep going through. I'm not sure why. I don't have that answer. I wish I did. I mean, Cal Ripken's certainly a friend. There's comments that at least he's should be more involved in the stadium and what they do and all that. I don't know where that is,
Well, I don't
but
know what he's doing. That's part of,
right.
he was on the broadcast and they're doing the bobblehead this week. I think the fans don't know how involved he is or isn't at this point. And I think last place is a tough, no one planned for this. They don't have a
No.
plan for last place. I don't think any of them, because I don't think they thought this was possible. And all the injuries have been a huge, huge part of this. They got their
Yeah.
manager fired. It's been a tough year for them. It really
It's
has
been a
been.
very tough Oriole year. I think it's a Raven year, to be honest. I do. I do believe that it'll be a Raven year, and I think that Orioles will rebuild and be stronger. Listen, they do a great job. Their stadium's great. The people are great, and we're very blessed by the Orioles. I think Ravens is the focus this year. I think Ravens are going to be extra strong. I think, when you got the running back that just basically is a beast, and you've got a quarterback that's due, and you got good receivers around you, and you've got a great coach who's held on and fought for the place where he is. I think you're just going to see a lot of good things with the Ravens this year.
I think one of the most telling things was Jaire Alexander wanting to take less money to come and play after playing in Green Bay. And he's got a lot of money in the bank. And these guys have a limited period to earn. But part of that is they want to win. They want to have fun. They want to be around winners. And I think the Derrick Henry thing last year coming in with Lamar was part of that. And Craig, I'll tell you, I go way back with the Derrick Henry thing to 4 or 5 years ago, tweeting out they need Derrick Henry. If they have Derrick Henry, they'd be unstoppable. So believe me, if they're holding the Lombardi Trophy second week of February, I'll be the first guy sharing my 2021 and 22 tweets saying, "See, I told you so." Just like when Craig Northrup tells you that he's going to sell your house, he's going to get it done for you.
100%. I love that.
For people in the thinking about selling their home, and they call any real estate agent, we all have somebody in our phone book, our friends, family, whatever. What is a good real estate agent? And you employ a lot of them more than ever. But when someone comes in to be a realtor for you, if I have a friend that's looking to change and they want to come work for you, what is the ethos that you bring into this after all the years of doing this? Because rates are going to change, but land's houses with the technology we use to sell houses now. But if I had a house and brought it to you right now, what am I looking to do?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think knowledge is important in a marketplace, and to live where you sell. All of our agents live in the areas they sell, which I think is majorly important. So they know the local stores. They know the local reasons why people move there. They know what it takes to get your house sold. Then we have a whole staging department that stages your property. We have a whole marketing department that's going to put it all out there. We've got all kinds of things that are different in our reach. We're going to reach to we have 160,000 database because we've been doing this for so long, over 50 plus years. I've been doing it 37 years. My mother's been doing it for 50 years. So we have an internal matchmaker that we can match it up with buyers that we're working with right now. So we've got all kinds of mechanisms. But most importantly, when you make that call, it's a real simple call. We come out, we talk to you, it's complimentary. We give you a free analysis of your property. We give you a sense of what it would cost, our plan, and really show you how to maximize your equity, which many people, if you've been in your house over 7 years, at this point have some really good equity that ultimately is probably capping off. So you probably it's a good time to cash out of your equity and move into a different place or another area or something, whatever that would be. But it's a really good time. Every house that's sitting over 7 years right now is great equity.
So I wrote down some notes because you were just getting at it in the early part of this thing. You said something about pools. I used to think of a pool as being something like you either want one or you don't want one. If
Right.
you're in Southern California, they usually come with one. But if you lived in Perry Hall or you lived in Towson, you put a fancy ass pool in, it looks like something. Either somebody thinks it looks like paradise or it looks like I don't want a pool. COVID and changing that. And I could pull up my Facebook from 48 hours ago, Craig, the minute it hit 94 degrees, and I put the APB out to all 10 of my listers. I don't have a lot of listers. You'll find that out. And I said, "Hey, if any of you have a pool, today's the day to invite me. This is the week I want to be your
See,
friend. I mean,
there
I'll
you
bring the sausages. I'll bring some beer. I'll bring some whatever you're drinking, wine
go.
cooler. I'll bring Zima. I'll bring California cooler, Bartles and James, whatever you need. But pools convey value or don't convey value at this point?"
That's a great question because in the past it was pool or no pool, right? Now with COVID, what COVID did is create outdoor spaces. People wanted to be in their own backyards more than ever. So fire pits went up a massive amount of money. Pools are up 300%. It's crazy the value of a pool right this minute because it costs more. The contractors have obviously caught on, and now the pool costs and installing pools are more expensive. So all of that understood, pools are much more value in my whole 37 careers than I've ever seen in my career. It's kind of amazing because people want to enjoy their backyard more now. Because again, it's a question, where do I want to quarantine next? And that's where the pools and the fire pits and the backyard kitchens and all the great stuff that you can do out back have become a huge excitement. Now, I'll give you an example of that. I just on my Facebook page, which anybody can go to. There's a house right now. It's on Clifton Oaks, and you'll see the backyard, and you'll see the pool and the pool house and all that. And you'll get a sense of feeling like what it could be like to live there. And at 100 degrees, wearing suits a little hot, the pool looks really good. My best post in the career history was a house on Maryvale. I'll never forget it. It was 20 years ago. I decided to jump into a pool with a suit.
Okay.
And it was kind of crazy. And, it was just one of them, try something new. And I did it. And I tell you what, it went viral. And that's the person that bought the house has a plaque that says Craig Northrup jumped into the pool of this house. It was kind of funny. Like that's just pools have really have escalated in value since in the last 5 years to 7 years.
When you jumped in that pool, were you a realtor? Be honest with me, Craig. We haven't had too many conversations. When you walked into a house in at the turn of the century, 1999, 2001 or two, and saw a pool, did you think, nice house, but it's got a pool. This is going to be a tougher sale. I mean, was that not
Pool
the
was
real
not
estate?
sexy. Pool was not sexy. There were people burying pools. They didn't want the pool. There was a lot of that in the beginnings when I first got in the business. You lost money if you had a pool. Actually, back in the 90s, you lost money if you had a pool.
That's why when you were saying that to me in the beginning, I'm like, that's a change philosophically in real estate,
100%.
correct? All right, well, see, this is why I bring you on. You're like,
There
why
you
are you
go.
inviting me on? I sell houses. I learned stuff. Craig Northrup is here from Northrup Realty. You can find him. I also wrote something down here about retreat. You said you're having a retreat, and I know you do all sorts of charitable stuff. And if I ever get you, do you eat crab cakes? I mean, I don't know
Of
about you,
course
Howard
I do.
County
I'll eat
people.
crab cakes. I'm born in Maryland, for Pete's
I'm
sake.
just
Just
checking.
kidding.
I would never have a crab cake outside of Baltimore. I mean, I tell people, Montgomery County, I had my worst crab cake of my life in Montgomery County. They
Wow.
made it like a chicken salad sandwich. I'm not kidding you. They may have had raisins and celery, and I don't know what the hell it was. And PG County, maybe. I mean, I went. Michael Steele took me for a really crab bomb. It was really good over in Laurel. So I feel differently about PG County. Excuse me, Prince George's County. I won't offend
That's
anybody.
right, please.
But I would say I could get you out for a crab cake. We would wind up talking about charity because I think
Where's your
I.
number one place? People just asked me this yesterday. Number one crab cake, where is it?
I don't give no. I don't rate them like that.
You
I will
don't? No.
send you to. A number. Here's the problem with crab cakes. And if you really ask me, if we were just together and you're in the club level on opening day, we're having a beer together, and you're like, "What? Come on, be honest. What's your really favorite crab cake?" I'd be like, "If you like a mustardy crab cake, Fadley's is the only one that's even like that. It's delicious. It's unique. It's different. If you like a saltier J.O. Chesapeake Bay seasoning type of thing, you want to eat in East Baltimore. You want to go over to Costas. If you like more of a sweeter jumbo, you want to go to Coco. You know what I mean? So like, but here's the thing. If I put a Costas, a Coco's, a Fadley's, I mean, go through it all. I go over to State Fair, up at Greenmount Station. They have a real spin on the old Angelina's crab cake that I love. And all of these crab cakes I'm mentioning, none of them are fried. And my mother would tell you if she were alive, I prefer a fried crab cake to a broiled crab cake. And it's because I grew up poor with little hockey puck special crab cakes at the Memorial Stadium with the mustard and the crackers. So I like them all. But they're all different, and I would tell everybody, try them all, and you come back and tell me because there's not my favorite might not be your favorite, you know, and that's just kind of the way. What's your favorite? You're a Howard County guy. You're gonna brag on Timbuktu, or you're gonna brag on something. Well, that may be in Anne Arundel County. You're gonna brag on something Howard County.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the legend one in Howard County directly. Now, this is dangerous because you got all kinds of people going, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. But, in Howard County doesn't have a ton of, Baltimore's got tons of them.
I
You
had
know
a great
what I mean.
crab cake at Leland's. Can I tell you that? It was an unbelievable crab cake at
Leland's,
Leland's.
I agree with Leland's totally. King's Contrivance,
Okay.
kind of fun. It's an old mansion, beautiful house. Richard is the host there. I'm telling you, one of the best crab cakes in Howard County. You want to give a
Well, then I
shout?
got to come do the show there.
There you go.
Oh, well, you're
You
going to put that
love it.
together now that you've said it out loud and nobody's heard it, you know?
And you know what? You would love it because the ambiance, things like that, it's kind of fun and gives you that feel of old time Baltimore a little bit, along with really good food and great service.
See, you're selling me up on this, just like the real estate. If I get out to do a crab cake tour, and one of the things I do on the crab cake tour is charity, community, talking about things, I think I've 9 out of 10 times I run into you, because it hasn't been, I've been to a lot of Terps games and seen you there. I see you at Oriole games. But when I run into you, we're usually like a charity event. We're usually involving somebody in something where there's auction items, there's good food, there's revelry, but more than that, there's a check left behind at the end of the night. I would think you've written as many $150 tickets and $1,000 tables as meant as anybody, that if I had a table for a charity thing, I'd call you, because I know you're involved in that kind of
Robert,
stuff.
I do everything community. I mean, I'm proud to be doing a lot with the hospital at Howard County Hospitals. I'm proud to do a lot of the stuff with the CF events, Alzheimer's, American Heart Association. We call it Northrop Cares campaign. And so what we do is we focus on certain different charities each year, and then we quarterly do different events. So we're very passionate about giving back to the community. Listen, you buy community, that's why you buy a house. You buy for the communities where you live, what you live. And so it's very passionate for us to give back to them, make them great places to live. And that's why we call it the Northrop Cares campaigns.
Greg Northrup is here. He is from Northrup Realty, not just in Maryland, now in several states. You can
Right.
find them out online. All right, so I think I've gotten through everything here other than your retreat. You want to talk about your retreat?
So the retreat. We go to Cambridge because actually we have places. So we have six. We're in six states. To your point, we're in Delaware, D.C., Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Carolinas, and of course Maryland. So with that, we bring them all together in a place called Cambridge Hyatt in Cambridge, kind of in between the D.C.
Beautiful.
and
I know where
Pennsylvania
you
area.
are.
Love that. And we bring a gentleman named Lawrence Yoon, and Lawrence Yoon is the Hyatt economist for NAR, which is our National Association of Realtors. And we have some fun. We call it the fun day. Everybody should work hard, play hard. We play hard first. We enjoy each other, networking, kind of catch up with everybody. Then the next morning is all about training Tuesday, where we just kind of talk, meet, and listen about the economy. Lawrence Yoon is the most smartest man when it comes to what's next. And he believes that yes, the interest rates will come down. Yes, the economy is going to see a really good second half of the year. So we've been blessed by all of that. And so one of the things that a gentleman that runs a couple of local banks goes, with all the AI stuff going on there, what AI can't do is ultimately sell. They can tell, but they can't sell. And so what's interesting is I think salesmanship and I think caring, I say to close a sale is you got to be able to care first. You got to be consistent in your message and your brand, and you got to be confident and what you do and how you do it. And that's sort of what we do in the retreats. We kind of remind everybody, we create that culture, and then we bring it back out there, and we're stronger and better for it. We did last year, we did a greenhouse for the Wounded Warriors in Cambridge, and very proud about that. We built them a greenhouse so they can grow their own vegetables and things like that, so they can service them. It's a 500 acre facility right in Cambridge, that people, Wounded Warriors, go to get, to rest, to retreat. And so we're proud to be aligned with them as well.
Well, Craig, I'm going to tell you, get your pen out, because you asked me about crab cakes. You're going over to
Yes.
Eastern Shore. I don't know when you're over there. I don't know how much free time you have, but this is where it's going to get good, because
Right, let's go.
Fadley's, Costas, places I go, sponsors, Coco's. I'm doing the show in all those places in August. So in August, it's my 27th anniversary. We're changing the logo from the
Nice.
26th Oyster. I'm going to my 27 favorite food items during the month of August. August
I
3rd is
love
our
it.
27th anniversary. So I'm going to count these down there. When is your Cambridge retreat?
That is in July 14th.
Mid-July, All-Star. Okay, so here's
Mid-July.
it. Cambridge is really special place because it's on the Choptank River. I have been privileged enough to go to one of the crab pickeries right off of 50. I'm talking about you can see it off of 50, to the right as you go over the Bill Burton Bridge, my one-time colleague at the Evening Sun. And so you can see where the crabs are picked over there. But more than that, I got a couple of places for you. It's a place called Ocean Odyssey, family-owned, right on 50. You've
Love it.
passed it a million times. It's right on the south bank, or no, excuse me, the north bank, but as you pass it on the left, right as you're making the left to go to the Hyatt. Two of the finest crab cakes I've ever had in my life. I'm helping you
Wow.
here, Craig. I'm
I
helping you
got
here,
it.
okay?
Thank you.
It's a terrible name, but you're 5 minutes away if you're at the Cambridge Hyatt. It's
Wow. All
called
right. Done.
Suicide Bridge.
Huh.
Suicide Bridge Restaurant. It is in Hurlock, Secretary, Maryland. It's between Hurlock and Secretary. It's called Suicide Bridge. It is a 5-minute drive. It is as fine a crab cake as I have ever tasted. And I will even top that because my dear friend Jason Seamer's band, Bad With Names, played in Hooper's Island. You ever been to Hooper's Island, Craig? You ever sold a house down there?
No, I'm not, but I know of it.
Okay, you've never been to Hooper's Island, though.
No.
This is your chance. Have you been down to the sanctuary? Have you ever been through Blackwater National Refuge? Have you done that?
No.
Okay, Craig, here's what you're going to do. You're going to get a bus for your realtors out of the Hyatt just for a couple of hours,
All right.
and you're 30 minutes away from one of the most beautiful pieces of property, and you wouldn't know about it because you can't sell nothing there because it's a national, it's a park. It's the
Right.
most beautiful place. It's I tell people about this all the time.
What's it called again?
Blackwater National Refuge. You've seen the sign, and the sign's brown. When you get into Cambridge, you make a right. You go 10 miles to the right. Birds, fishes, beautiful things. But what you want to do is you want to go from there down to Hooper's Island, a little further south. You're probably about 20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes away at that point from getting to Hooper's Island. And there's a place in Hooper's Island that my buddy played, and I went down. This is as fine a crab cake as I've ever had. It's called Old Salties. It's in an old schoolhouse from the early 1900s. It has a
Wow.
complete baseball motif. The man who owned it was a Yankees fan. There's lots of Babe Ruth pictures and old Yankees pictures. I was given this tip by some old heads on the Eastern Shore, and I'm like, Hooper's Island? I ain't never been there before. I got friends that have cousins down there from Essex. And I went down there as fine a crab. It's the most remote crab cake that's not Smith Island. I've had one there too, but you want to go to Fishing Creek, and you want to go to Hooper's Island, and you want to go to Old Salties, and you want to get the crab cake, but you want to really stop as a tourist in the Blackwater National Refuge. You probably want to do the Harriet Tubman Trail too when you're down there and see that. It's an amazing a museum there. But there you go. So I built your Eastern Shore.
Wow,
I
look
just
at
made
that.
your
You gave
retreat
it
better,
all
Craig.
there. Look at that. We didn't know any of that there. And fun part is we're 25 years anniversary of North the team and North of Realty. So yeah, that's our celebration. So you're 27 or 25, so kind of fun.
All right, I give Northrop Craig crab cake recommendation. You gave me what now? Sweet 16 for the Terps, Lombardi Trophy for the Ravens, right? And can we get a bowl game for the football team for you and for Locks, please?
I know, right? Can we get a bowl game? Yes, I think we're gonna. I think what are we gonna do? Rose Bowl, baby.
I'm
Go
checking the
to
box. All
Rose.
right, Rose Bowl by 2030. Let's have a
There you
goal.
go.
I
I
mean,
like
if
it.
Lefty can make us the UCLA of the East, we can be the Alabama of the North.
I like it.
Craig, keep selling houses. Keep doing good things in the community. Keep your spirits. You're always fun to hang out with. You
Thanks.
and your wife, when I run into you in these fun events, and I'm glad that you spent a little bit of time with me. I get to know you a little better.
Northofrealty.com. Thank you, buddy. It was a pleasure.
Suicide Bridge, Old Salties. I'm helping you here. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Hooper's Island, and Fishing Creek, and Suicide Bridge, and Hurlock, and Secretary. We go everywhere.